You're listening to the Party in My Plants podcast. And have you ever looked down and asked, is climate change on my plate? No? Well, I bet your butt in mushrooms you will after this chat. Welcome to the Party in My Plants podcast, where I make healthy living as fun as a party so you'll, you know, actually want to do it and then actually feel, look, and live your best. I'm your host, Talia Pollock. Now let's get this party started. This episode is enthusiastically sponsored by a product that couldn't possibly float my boat more, Four Sigmatic. My boat is so floated by Four Sigmatic's mushroom drinks that any more floating would turn my boat into an airplane because it's flying. Okay, so the first time I tried a packet of Four Sigmatic mushroom tea and a glass of hot water, I was more skeptical because of this whole mushroom thing being really trendy right now, and I'm always reluctant to hop on trend trains. Wow, we're really covering all the modes of transportation here. But I drank those shrooms, and I felt truly awesome. It's hard to explain. I just felt way more awesome than I felt before I drank it. Since then, I consistently consume at least one type of shrooms a day, and it helps me know it's going to be bright, 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 sunshiny day, even when it's rainy and gray, because I am telling you these mushrooms are magic, although they don't make me hallucinate in a bathtub like my ex-boyfriend's famous magic mushroom experience, which in hindsight, he seemed way too proud of. But nobody's hallucinating the magical effects of these shrooms, okay? They are ultra scientifically proven to boost immunity and gut health. Yes, please, and thank you. And the four different shrooms that Four Sigmatic uses most, hence the four in Four Sigmatic, wink, wink, they all do different epic things for your bod. Reishi helps you relax. Cordyceps give you a non-caffeinated energy for sports and stuff. Lion's mane, which does not come from a lion's mane, boosts your brain. And chaga is a mega charge for your immune system. I weave all four of those separate mushrooms into my life by way of the teas. That's what I'm talking about here, people, are mushroom teas that you dissolve in a packet of hot water and haya. But I also fancy myself some of their fancier shroom concoctions. They have this relaxing, thanks to the Reishi hot cocoa that I pretty much make every night with almond milk. They have matcha powder, which is the only matcha I now use. They have these magic mushroom chai latte packets that you can add to water or almond milk for a hot or iced, sweetest, sippable treat. And I have to say, even though I don't drink coffee, Four Sigmatic is kind of famous for their multiple kinds of organic, much better for you coffee, even mocha mixes. So you can mocha chocolate. Okay, enough from me. I'm sorry. I just finished a mushroom matcha latte and I'm flying high. But because you listen to this podcast, thanks so much for doing that, by the way, you can save 15% off any and all Four Sigmatic shroomy stuff you'll want to buy off of their site, foursigmatic.com, using code PARTYINMYPLANTS. Or you can just go to foursigmatic, foursigmatic.com/PARTYINMYPLANTS to automatically save that 15%, baby. Oh, by the way, did I mention that I don't even really like eating mushrooms? Yeah, but now, thanks to Four Sigmatic, my body doesn't need to have shroom FOMO. Okay, again, hit up foursigmatic.com/partyinmyplants to save 15% on this mega boat floating stuff that I always find stuffed into my pockets, purses, luggage, or my bra because I just can't get enough. My guest today has zero time to waste on not taking action to better our planet Earth. And this convo with Max LaManna will be a zero waste of your time. Max is a plant-based chef and a pro at zero waste living. He's going on 600 days of producing no food waste. If his Instagram rallies and role modeling how to eat plants without plastic packaging doesn't inspire you to start making small efforts to better the health of the planet, nothing will. And don't worry, if you feel like, bah, humbug, I doubt my small efforts will even make a difference, we cover that. Or if you feel like, could this zero waste lifestyle be any more overwhelming? We cover that too. I loved finally having a chat about how eating more plants is fantastic for even more than just our own inner health. And Max is so the man to give us the why and the how to start living a more sustainable green lifestyle now. Oh, and yes, we cover the situation with those frickin' straws. Max, thank you so much for coming on the Party in My Plants podcast.
So happy to be here. Thank you.
I just want to throw it back to how we met. This is a very special moment for me, remembering that day at ABCV. You walked up to our table, you studly man, and I was like, who are you? What do you do? Like, you have to be an actor, a model, or something. And then now you're here, changing the world.
I mean, the tables have come around full circle. Everything is just, it's brought us back to talk on your podcast today. It's crazy.
It's wild.
What were you celebrating that day? I don't remember. Was it a birthday?
You're right. It was a celebration.
Or were you getting married? You just got engaged.
I had that. Yes, I had gotten engaged. And I think I had like my, ironically, first call with like a publisher coming up, or like an agent or something like big with the book, like early stage. I don't know. Or I was just like celebrating life.
Celebrating life. Classic Talia.
Yes, celebrating life.
Celebrating life.
Yeah, good times. Okay, so what's crazy is now you're literally changing the world. And I just want to jump right to your tagline on your website: more plants, less waste. I mean, that's it. Like, tie it in a bow. That's what you stand for. And it is so concrete and so wonderful. How did you arrive here? Like, how did you become this more plants, less waste guy?
How did I get here? This might be a long story.
Easy question.
Yeah, simple and easy. Mm-hmm. Every time I think of this question, how did I get here? Why now? I only think back to where it all began and how it all started for me. I grew up having a chef for a father and a restaurateur. Oh. My mother worked in television, and she was also an avid gardener. So spending a lot of time in the restaurant, in the kitchen, cooking with food with my father, and then also spending time with my mother outdoors as well, planting our own produce in our backyard.
Where did you grow up?
I grew up in Waterbury, Connecticut.
Oh, I'm from Avon, Connecticut.
That's right. We had a lot of similarities. I remember we had this conversation when I was serving your table.
Yes, 860, right?
Small world. I'm actually 203.
We can't be friends anymore.
Yeah, we can't be
friends
anymore.
Anyone listening who's from Connecticut, you know what we're talking about.
Shout in the comments below.
Okay, so your dad was a restaurateur and a cook, yes. And your mom was a gardener and also cooked. And you played around with lots of food in many different ways.
Food was the centerpiece to everything. You know, I was really into sports growing up as a child, and after a sporting event or after a meet or a match, you know, you get hungry. And so it was the one thing I always looked forward to. After school, coming home, there were snacks, or there was dinner at 5 o'clock. Food was always going to be on the table, and it was always going to be delicious. And I remember my parents would never allow me to bring friends over to the house. I thought this was like not, you know, fair to a child growing up. And you know, later on, I asked my parents why they didn't allow, you know, my friends to come over. And they said, well, we knew that they would like the food, and they would just want to come over all the time and eat all our food. Mom, Dad, really? I mean, they're joking, but they're having fun with it. But I think it was our time to come together and have that space. Like,
it's like church.
We're eating dinner. Yeah, it's like church. Oh my gosh. Coming together, eating food as a family, as one. My father would play games with us at the kitchen table, asking us what seasoning or what's the secret sauce or what spices did I use in this dish? And he would have us guess.
Oh, that's so
cool.
And
it was a way for us to kind of train our palates at a young age. Or he was just trying to keep us quiet and eat our food at the table. One of them was going to work.
Double whammy.
So, yeah, double whammy. So any mothers or fathers out there, this can be a great trick to keeping your children quiet at the kitchen table. So fast forward, I worked in restaurants growing up. At 16, I was a doughboy in a pizza restaurant.
Like throwing the pizza pies in the air and doing that cool shit?
They didn't allow me to do this. They're like, you're too young. You don't know how to do it. But I was doing this way before I even walked into this place. Friday night was always pizza night in my house. So I learned how to throw dough at like the age of 9.
Oh my God.
And so I walked into this place and like, they like, don't throw the dough, just roll it out, pat it out. And this is all you need to do. And it was a fun job, a little stressful, a lot of pressure at that age, at 16, to like roll out dough, to make the dough, to bring the dough over to the pizza maker. Mm-hmm. And we were making, I don't know how many pizzas we were making, but we were making a lot of pizzas every single night. So that eventually evolved into working in other restaurants. And then I moved to Los Angeles and I was making cookies and selling cookies to yoga studios, to then moving to Australia and making chocolate and selling chocolate to stores, to restaurants, to grocery markets and food markets. And it just kind of continued to, wow, to evolve. I think food has always been playing in the background,
yeah,
to my life, as I was also trying to accomplish and strive for a career and other things. So then I found myself back in New York after this journey and worked at a restaurant, the restaurant that you came to. And really, I said, okay, I think I really need to commit to spending possibly my life with food. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure what that was. So I was serving and then I moved to bartending and then I was splitting my time up in the kitchen working with Neil.
Oh, Neil's been on the podcast, guys.
Yes, he has. I
love Neil.
I remember.
Yeah.
Yeah. Back to episode.
Oh, I don't know it.
I don't remember the episode, but I do remember listening to it because I'm a big fan of Neil.
Yeah.
And he taught me a lot when I was working there.
That's awesome. And we're talking about an ABCV in case anybody missed that.
Yeah. And if you haven't been, please go.
Yes.
So yeah, it just continued to evolve and the food was playing in the background to everything that I was doing. And
well, it's the family business. It's your family business. Food is your guy's business. Was plants and like, I mean, you're vegan now. Like, was this the through line also throughout this period of time? Or did that evolve when you were at ABCV and stuff?
I went plant-based or I went vegan 7 years ago.
Okay.
And over that course of time, there was challenges, there was, you know, bumps in the road and, you know, I fell off the wagon, as they say, but I, you know, found myself and picked myself back up after, you know, some moments in between. And now, you know, I was vegetarian for like a good period of time. And then for the last 3 years, I've been fully vegan.
Mm-hmm. And what inspired you to go vegan back 7 years ago?
Oh, yeah. Geez, I read something the other day that back in 2014, 1% of Americans identified themselves as vegan. And I'm thinking like 2012 is when I decided to do this. I was less than 1% before it became even like a mainstream or a household.
9, I think.
Wow.
Suck it.
Holy, wow. You have a 10-year.
Yeah.
10-year in veganism. That's amazing. You know, what really did it for me was, I think, everything that happened prior to this moment. I don't think you just arrive to something and it just kind of happens. I think other moments and time and situations, and those happen, and that leads you to in a moment of an awakening or an epiphany. And for me, I've always wanted to focus on my health and my wellness of myself, and, you know, playing sports at a young age and taking care of myself was always the mission. And when someone introduced veganism to me, I thought they said vegetarianism, so I corrected them.
Yeah,
but because I never heard of it before. Mm-hmm. And they asked, you know, they said the same things like, do you care for your health? Do you care for the planet? Do you care for innocent animals? And, you know, they didn't approach it in a militant, you know, dictatorship style. They were just curious to know whether I care for myself and for the planet, because they saw that I was cooking and that I was cooking, I was putting food together, and they asked if I was making anything vegan.
Hmm.
So I was curious, as I think we all should be curious beings, and asked them what it was, and that was it. They opened the door for me.
Wow. That's fascinating. That's really cool. So where did the zero waste thing come in? Because, okay, people can be relating to your story. You know, it makes sense. You grew up in the family food business. Everyone was into food. It was church for you. Then you, you know, had it as a through line through all your travels and career moves and all that. Like, cool, we get that. But like, now you are zero waste and you are sharing and promoting and inspiring and instructing people how to significantly reduce their waste on this planet. Where did that come in? Because that is not something I don't think many people listening can relate to. Like, that is amazing and remarkable. How did you bring this into the mix?
I like to think that I've always been conscious and mindful, but there was one moment in particular where I went home one evening from work. And outside the train station, there was this homeless man, and he was begging for food. So I thought, you know what? I'm going to do some good. I don't have any money on me. I'm not going to go across the street and buy him some food from McDonald's. But I'm going to go home and make some food. Maybe this guy needs like a home-cooked meal to lift his spirits.
Oh, my God.
So I'm like, yeah, let me do. I was having a good day at work. So I think I was still feeling good and wanted to just like spread that. And yeah. So I went home, looked at my fridge and noticed that the food I had was going bad.
Mm-hmm. Story of my life.
We'll talk about that.
Yes,
later.
You will help correct that.
So I ended up looking at the food in my hands as it was like rotting and deteriorating. So I threw it in the trash can. And I looked at it and I started thinking, I'm like, where is this going? You know, like what happens to food that is thrown away? So I went on Google, what happens to food when it's thrown away? And like landfill came up and then like climate change and global warming and methane and all this, like all these things started popping up. And I'm like, wait a minute, I haven't seen this. Why didn't I learn this in school? Mom and dad, you have like some serious explaining to do.
Santa's not real.
Santa's not real. So it opened my mind. I started diving deeper and deeper into the food waste. And food waste then opened up another door to the plastic pollution and the plastic consumption that we create each and every single day. And then, you know, I'm going outside and I'm walking to work and living in New York City, you're just surrounded by trash.
Yeah.
it just follows
pretty much,
you.
Pretty much.
They pay rent to like live on the streets. and so it just opened my mind. I opened my eyes and my heart to like what mass destruction we were causing this planet. Mm-hmm. And one thing started unfolding after another. And then within, you know, a few weeks, I started taking small things out. I started making these small changes. And then little by little, I started getting into this flow, into this like daily habitual kind of lifestyle. And then I came across the word zero waste. And I was like, wait a second, zero waste, like, is that what I'm doing? Am I like, so I don't really, I mean, I use the term zero waste, but I don't think we can truly be zero waste.
Uh-huh.
I mean, for me to call you or for us to speak on the phone, I need to charge my phone and that's requiring energy. And that energy, where's that energy coming from? I need to Google that afterwards, you know? So that is wasteful in itself. And, you know, we all create a carbon footprint. So I think the zero waste is more of a catch and not an actual physical destination.
Mm-hmm.
But it is a journey to arriving to a place where you can create less waste.
Incredible. Incredible. Okay, I have to ask you, did you ever circle back to the homeless guy that night?
I
sorry
didn't.
To make you feel bad. I felt like that. I just needed to
I
know.
I didn't, but...
But he changed your life, and now you're saving the planet. So
yeah, you know what? Maybe that was...
Karma.
Yeah, it was karma. I saw him like weeks later, months later, in the same area. So yeah, I've paid it forward and he's received some food from me later on.
Okay, good.
I just needed
to know. Yeah. I was just curious. I was on cliffhanger.
It was a little hard to go to sleep that night because I'm like, I told him I was going to bring him food.
Oh, I didn't know you told him. I thought you just said it in your mind. Like, we thought it. I'm going to go home.
Yeah.
It changed everything for you, not to make you feel guilty. So, okay. I don't even know where to start here. Food scraps. Okay, let's just start there. What else do you do with food scraps? I mean, if they don't go in the trash, I mean, I'm just thinking about everything I used this morning. Okay, I just had breakfast. I cut up strawberry. I made like an overnight oats situation and I had strawberries on it. So I cut off the little green stems of the strawberries and I threw those in the trash. I don't have a, I live in New York, so we don't have a disposal, so like I do in my parents' house in Connecticut. So I just threw it in the trash. I made tea. I had a tea bag, threw that in the trash. And as I was doing this, because I knew we were having our chat, I was just like, oh my God, that's going in the trash. That's going in the trash. And I was like, how do you live? So I don't even know what my question is. Just where does one start? It seems so incredibly overwhelming.
Yeah, let's start from the beginning. So basically, I think one way to arrive at creating less food waste is, well, let's start with your meal. So it's great that you cut off the ends, right? You're not going to eat that green leafy bit. I've, in my past, have eaten the green leafy bit because I've seen other vegans do this. And they're like, yeah, it's good. It's plants. But yeah, I normally will cut that leaf part off the strawberry. And basically, I'll have a bowl run when I start cooking, when I start prepping, I have a bowl that's off to the side that is going to collect my food scraps.
Mm-hmm. Kitchens do that, right? I've seen that happen in kitchens, like restaurant kitchens, no?
Yeah. Not in the ones I worked.
Oh.
Yeah, it's crazy. Some restaurants, they don't do it.
Okay.
Which is... something, a message that I'm trying to share with restaurants as well and consulting and working with them is to help lower their food waste. Because if they lower their food waste, they save money and they don't have to then pay for disposal of the waste department who comes and picks up their rubbish.
Mm. Okay, so you have a little scrap bin.
Yeah, you have a little scrap bin that collects your food waste. I mean, you can... repurpose those leafy bits of the strawberry by either planting it in the ground or putting it into the compost, or you can also then save it and put it into a veggie stock. I've never actually done that with the strawberry tops themselves. I usually just put them back into the ground or send them off to compost. But like your tea bag is a great example. Like depending on the material of the tea bag, you'll know if it's like made out of nylon or plastic, polyesterine, I think is what plastic is, or it's made out of like paper or like a simple thread. And that could be composted as well. Oh. Or you just cut it open and take the leaves out and you can compost the leaves.
Oh.
So when I was living in New York City, I was lucky and fortunate to have a compost receptacle outside that collected our food waste and our compost. And then every week they had the Department of Sanitation come and pick up the food waste.
Wow. For like your whole building?
Lucky. Yeah.
What the hell?
I was the only one using it too, yeah. Which is quite, it was like sad. I remember like leaving notes like,
oh,
we have a food waste bin outside. So if you have food scraps, please send them here.
Oh my God. That's adorable. Let me ask you a question. First of all, what is composting? If you're not composting your scraps, what's happening to them?
Ooh, what is happening to them? So let's start off with this one. Did you know that a head of lettuce, if you send it into a landfill in a plastic bag, you toss it and throw it in the landfill, that head of lettuce will take 25 years to decompose.
No, I did not know that. That's crazy. One head of lettuce, 25 years.
One head of lettuce takes 25 years to decompose.
That's nuts.
Because if you think of it, it's an organic material. And organic material for a head of lettuce to grow, it requires soil, it requires sunlight, it requires water, it requires air. It requires all these elements that give and sustain life. There's this endless cycle. It's a cycle of life, where you could put food back into the earth and it will then replenish the soil and then give you new life. So food that ends up in a bin or food that ends up going into a landfill creates methane. Methane is 25 times, almost 30 times more potent than carbon dioxide. So that is just being released into the air and the atmosphere, and that's causing, you know, global warming and our climate to warm and change. Methane is the same stuff that those cows on the farmland are farting and burping all day long. And we know that, oh, that's bad.
Right.
It's the same thing that's happening when we throw our food away.
Huh. Wow. So what is composting then? If you have a composting bin, like, I know some people have their own, but then you had this one in New York, which I don't know how you had that. I've never heard of that in New York. But like, how does someone start composting?
So step one, if you are in New York City, you can definitely contact your council. So Talia, like after this call, let's call the Department of Sanitation and speak to them and say, hey, I'd love to get my own food waste bin. I believe you can do this and they will send you a food waste bin so you can collect your food waste for your building. If you live like in a residential building, they may have that. One other thing to do is when I was living in New York and living in Brooklyn, I collected my food waste and kept it in my freezer. I kept it in a bowl or in a brown paper bag and collect my food waste and kept it in the freezer. So when the time did come that I got too full, I would then take it out. Or sometimes I would even bring it to the farmer's market or Union Square or McCarran's Park where they had the farmer's market. Farmers usually typically will take your food waste. And I know how bubbly and sweet you are. So you could probably even like speak to the farmers there. If they say no to you the first time, I'm sure if you ask them a second or third time, they may say yes.
That's so funny. What about people like that live in, that are lucky and live in actual homes? How do they start composting?
Yeah. There's so many ways to reduce your food waste. What I've done in the past and in Connecticut with my family, and they have a backyard and they have a garden, is I've taken that food waste and those scraps. I've dug a hole in the ground. And if you dig a hole 12 to 18 inches deep, you chop up this food waste and you could chuck it right back into the dirt, into the soil. And in a few weeks, possibly months, this food will then transform into soil. There's worms in the ground. They're going to eat all of that up. It's going to be great for the soil, bringing new nutrients and life back into the soil.
Wow. So just like kale stems with, you know, apple cores and orange peels and like onion outer layers, like all that stuff, just toss it and bury it down there.
Put it in the ground.
Have like a little ceremony, you know, put up a tombstone.
Yeah.
Lunch was here.
Lunch was here. I love that. You definitely want to create a space for that in your garden. So like have it in a circular or like in a rotation. So you're not like digging in the same spot every single time, because then you're not going to allow the food to decompose.
Got it.
Properly. There's ways of like, you could purchase these products like a vermicompost that helps break down your food waste into soil. A vermicompost is one that requires worms. So you can use that. You can use a worm compost system, or I think that's called a Kobayashi. It's one of the two. I always get it confused. You can just start putting your food waste in a bin with some dirt in a bucket or a garbage pail and fill it up and just keep layering food on top of soil and just keep doing this process. And with like dry leaves and dry organics with like wet organics, like grass and things like that. There's several different methods and ways of like reducing your food waste and not sending it into a landfill.
I had no idea it was so bad to send it into a landfill. This is, I mean, if that's one thing people take away from this chat, as I am, I feel much more empowered and educated right now.
Excellent. That's the whole idea of all of this, is to feel encouraged, to feel inspired, and to feel educated that now you can take this bit of information and apply it and use it.
Yeah. I mean, because the idea is quite overwhelming. Like all of the idea of looking at how much you waste. I mean, this was just my morning, you know, breakfast. I also, before this, I got a photo frame to hang in our bathroom, and it came in this huge cardboard box with like little inserts, and like it was wrapped in like bubble wrap or whatever. And like, that's waste too. I mean, and it's not even halfway through my day. It's like not even halfway through our morning, and I'm already have all this carbon footprinting that I've done today. I mean, it's quite overwhelming to try to wrap your mind around steps you can take to reduce it.
Yeah, that's why I think encouraging people to take these small active steps each and every single day. So maybe it's like, okay, I'm going to, you know, eat plants today. I'm going to reduce my food waste. I'm going to shop. When I shop for food, I'm going to buy food that comes in no packaging or less packaging. I'm going to buy in bulk. So I'm not buying, you know, 30 packets of almonds that come in a paper box and they're single packets. You know, I'm just going to buy a whole big box of almonds, you know, reducing your waste that way. It may say, hey, this is $10 for this big box. And you may see that small individual box that says $2, but really, like, you might save more money by getting that bigger one. So there's like ways around it. It's not, okay, let's not wipe out plastic completely. That's the end goal. Let's not use plastic. Our ancestors have done this in the past. Plastic wasn't even around. It wasn't even a thing back then. So let's eliminate plastic little by little, and we can make really, you know, some serious change.
Yeah. So in terms of eliminating plastic, I guess that would include bringing reusable water bottles around with us, which is a great thing to do. Talk to me about straws. Are straws really as much of the devil as everyone talks about they are now?
straws are the gateway to learning more about plastic and hopefully disposing less plastic in your everyday life.
The gateway. Everyone's like freaking out about straws.
Yeah. I mean, over here, every restaurant has, almost every single restaurant that I've been to in London has eliminated plastic straws indefinitely.
Wow.
Which is great. They don't make the larger footprint because it's such a small material. It's a light material.
Mm-hmm.
They're easily produced. In America alone, over 500 million plastic straws are used every single day.
500 million. That's crazy.
500 million.
That's a lot.
It is crazy.
It's a lot.
So like these plastic straws, they, when, you know, people are like, oh, they could be recycled. They're not recycled properly. And when they're sent to a recycling center, their cycling goes through its own system and they're sent into a tumbler where the machine figures out what materials can be recycled. And sometimes those plastic straws are too small and they're too thin and they slide through the cracks.
Literally. So, I thought you can't recycle anything that has like residue on it.
That is also true. So even like your pizza box that has the grease on it and the oil on it, that can't be recycled.
It really confuses me because like here in New York or anywhere, I mean, they have, you know, the trash bin and the outside and like, you know, this is the trash, this is the recycling. And I just, you know, I see people, myself included, because I don't know what else to do with it, put like used smoothie cups in the recycle. It's like, okay, I finished my smoothie. It's in a plastic cup. Let me put it in the recycle. But I know intellectually that like I believe you can't recycle a used smoothie cup, but why am I putting in the recycling bin? And then I'm like, I don't know. He just did it, so I'm doing it too. And help.
That's, yeah, help. It is a real, you know, mind game, and it fucks you up.
Yeah. Not to be
it
dramatic.
It really gets in. Sorry, I thought you cursed earlier.
No, I do. Okay, I just think it's so funny to think about like these smoothie cups fuck you up.
It can be overwhelming. All this can be really quite overwhelming, but there is hope. You know, all we need to do is stand up, speak up, and take actions. Like the other day, I went into a shop. I asked them if they can use my container for an acai bowl that I wanted to consume.
Okay.
And they said, oh no, sorry, we can't take your bowl. I'm like, why not? They're like, oh, health and you know, all this kind of like violations. I'm like, yeah. Like I've done it in the past. It's totally fine. And they're like, no, but seriously, like this is a no policy kind of situation. Okay, cool. I'm like, what if I kept my bowl out here and you poured it into the bowl from outside the kitchen? Like, and that, you know, there's no, and they're like, sorry, no. I'm like, all right, cool. I'm like, yeah, it's fine. And I look around and I see that they're using single-use bioplastic kind of compostable, and I'm using compostables in like air quotations, packaging and like the plastic kind of compostable spoons. And so I asked them, I'm like, oh, I noticed you have a compost bin. That's great. That's amazing. I'm like, do you wash the plastic afterwards? Oh, no, we just send it off. I'm like, and they recycle this. And he's like, yeah. I'm like, they recycle it. I'm like, And I tricked them because I'm like, you just said that it was compost, but now I just asked you if they recycled it. And so now everyone's confused.
My head's spinning. I mean, as I just wrote down on my sheet, compostable in air quotes, I feel like this is the new, like, paleo. Yeah. And like all these terms that people, you know, like ketogenics and like gluten and like all these terms and things that everyone's like stressed out about and more they're stressed because they're confused. Yeah. And it is very confusing because especially if we do want to make a difference, then it's hard to figure out what to do when we kind of know that throwing a used smoothie cup in the recycling bin isn't doing anyone any good.
Mm.
Right?
But, right. And I think my head's a little spinning too. So maybe if you're listening and Talia yourself too, just take a deep breath and exhale.
Thank you.
Because it's going to be okay. Because there's people who are going to feel inspired and who are going to take change and really make a difference. But I think we live in a world where we have that information at our fingertips. And the stuff that's at our fingertips is what we're holding right now and what we're possibly listening to on is our phones. We can look up and find out all this information for us. It just requires a little bit of effort for us to dig a little deeper, understand what's happening, and make those changes. I would be mindful and careful of seeing the compost in restaurants. I know a lot of takeaway fast food, kind of casual dining restaurants have these, you know, these shiny, beautiful, environmentally friendly words that sit in their restaurants.
Right.
But really, I would ask the manager, where is this going and who picks it up? And does this actually go to a recycling center or a compost center or industrial system? Where is this actually going? Because the more and more we create of this, it doesn't actually get put away. There's no throwaway. So like the recycling that we consume, I read a fact or a stat the other day here in London, here in the UK, 7%, only 7% of what the UK population consumes in plastic, 7% is sent to the recycling center. So only 7%. So the other 93% is floating around and not really actually going to a recycling center. So that 7% goes to a recycling center. And in that 7%, only 9% of it gets recycled. So what happens to that other 91%?
Uh-huh.
So it's, we just need to create less and make less, and eventually there will be less.
easy peasy. I mean, what's really refreshing is, as I was getting a little manic and overwhelmed there, you have such a grounded approach to this. I mean, I would think that aspiring to be a zero waste guy would be stressful and complicated and challenging. Is it not for you? Do you not find this lifestyle stressful at all?
It can be. It definitely can be. But I have allowed myself to make the mistakes.
Mm-hmm.
I've allowed myself to make the mistakes and allowed myself to say, hey, I'm only human. I make mistakes all the time. I need to learn from this and be better. This is our only planet that we're living on. I mean, they're trying to figure out how we can live on Mars. That's a warning sign. If you've seen this in the news and they're saying, hey, we're going to try to get life on Mars because we're killing the planet that we're living on.
Right.
And I know it sounds fucking straws. I know it sounds, you know, it can be fearful and we can lose hope and lose faith. And I think if you open yourself up to these changes and you make a change, you can see how simple that change may be. And then ask yourself, can I make another change? And making these daily changes or making these weekly changes one after another gives you stronger purpose, gives you a stronger hope that, okay, I can really make a difference.
Yeah. Well, honestly, it's the same exact thing with healthy eating and healthy living. Like, you can think about how overwhelming it is to uproot your diet and completely change it. If you're eating, you know, crap food and you want to eat plant food, that can be overwhelming. But what I tell people is, you know, make these small changes and they add up to big results, and one change and then the mm-hmm. next change. Da, da, da. And I guess, I mean, sounds like it's the same exact thing. That's how you stay chill about that. And when you still want to eat some French fries, you don't beat yourself up. So for you, it sounds like if that restaurant needs to use their own acai bowl vestibule that mm-hmm. isn't zero waste, like you're not going to throw a fit or starve. You're just, you know, do the best you can.
Do the best you can. But I did end up leaving that restaurant.
I figured. That's where I thought it was going.
I was like, all right, cool. Peace. Like I tried giving my 2 cents. That's okay. Cool. No worries. I'm going to take my business elsewhere.
That's funny. Okay. You're a badass. You're an excellent extreme. Excuse me for a sec. I just want to pop in here with a quick little thing I've been doing as of late that makes being healthy way less sucky, which you know is the entire point of the Party in My Plants podcast. So yay. I've been buying my non-perishable groceries. So like everything but my fresh plants on Thrive Market, and I completely feel like I'm beating the healthy eating system, which makes me feel really happy but also slightly sad for all the folks in the long lines at the Whole Foods across the street from me. Although grocery shopping is a good time to listen to podcasts like this one, so I hope they're at least doing that. Anyway, if you don't know about Thrive Market, or you've seen ads for it and haven't really investigated what their dealio is like me until I started using them, because while I've been working on my cookbook, I've started to loathe grocery shopping and needed a better way, let me SparkNotes Thrive for you. They're Amazon Prime meets Whole Foods. On Thrive, you can literally shop for thousands of the best-selling organic foods and natural products just like you'd find at Whole Foods or in the healthy aisle at Stop & Shop or Kroger's or wherever, but at 25 to 50% below traditional retail prices. All of Thrive's packaging is made from recycled paper and is recyclable, which is fetch. They're 100% carbon neutral, which takes away all the G to the ilt about ordering from them, right? Right. And they get from checkout on my app while I'm watching a friend's rerun to hey yo at my doorstep in 2 days. Also, you know how Phoebe says to Joey that there's no selfless good deed? Well, she is right, because by hooking yourself up with Thrive, you're also helping to make it possible for low-income families, teachers, and veterans to access health-supportive foods thanks to Thrive's Gives initiative, which means that when you sign up for Thrive, yeah, they're a membership thing just like Amazon Prime, they donate a free membership to match yours. So yeah, Phoebe, using Thrive really does make you feel better about yourself. And it also takes the hell out of being healthy, because you can get everything you need: non-GMO food, crap-free snacks, plant party kitchen staples, daily vites and sups, eco and human-friendly cleaning supplies, safe and non-toxic beauty and bath products, home goods, organic baby products, pet products, and mas more. If you're new to Thrive Market and want to give them a try, you can get an extra 25% off your first purchase and a free 30-day trial just because you listen to the Party in My Plants podcast. How sweet of a party favor is that? Could my voice get any higher? 25% off their already super low prices just by using my link, thrivemarket.com/party, and you don't even need a code. Oh, and when you go to thrivemarket.com/party, you'll see a compilation, like I'm Beethoven over here, of like 27 of my favorite things to buy on Thrive. I have my non-toxic but non-lousy mascara and highlighter on there, my go-to staples like oats, pasta, salt, coconut oil, maple syrup, quinoa, dates, and my favorite superfoods for super less money than any other place I've ever found them. Oh, and my favorite chocolate and dish soap, equally important stuff. To check out the Party in My Plants curated list of goods, plus to get that great 20% discount off your first order and a free 30-day trial, just go to thrivemarket.com/party, and let's get back to this awesome party we're in the middle of. So talk to me about like conscious cooking or like zero waste cooking, because you're coming out with a book with 80-ish, 81 maybe recipes, woo-hoo, vegan recipes. And I mean, I just finished my book as well with 80-ish recipes, and it's hard enough just coming up with amazing planty recipes, but I didn't do that with zero waste in mind. Tell me, how is it different to create recipes thinking about not wasting food and plastic and other stuff?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, the book is coming out in August 22nd. It's called More Plants, Less Waste.
Love it.
I think by the time this comes out, people can go and make a pre-order. And congratulations
so
to you.
Congratulations to you.
Yes.
I'm so excited for you.
Started from the bottom, now we're here.
Yeah, we're here. We should go to ABCV and celebrate next time you're back in the States.
Yes, let's do it. So when I approach cooking, I look at, okay, how can I reduce my impact? How can I reduce my waste? Of course, plants is like the first thing you do is look at your plate and see, okay, is climate change on my plate? You know?
Oh my God, I love that. That's the title of this episode. I'm writing that down. That's nice. Amazing.
Yes. So is climate change on my plate? So change the way we eat. And I'm inviting people to eat more plants. And in doing so, we're going to create less waste. So in each of my recipes, if there's an onion that's involved or a can of chickpeas or leftover bread or stale bread, I introduce recipes to revitalize that or bring that loaf of bread back to life so you can use it and not send it to waste. That can of chickpeas, if you are using a can of chickpeas, the aquafaba, the water that's inside of it. I have a recipe in there. It helps you make your own vegan butter from aquafaba. And
okay, I see what you're saying.
Yeah.
Yeah, so you're just using everything.
I'm using everything and basically upcycling other things too. So like if I don't have the resources to go out and buy chickpeas or garbanzo beans from bulk, then I'm going to revert to buying something from a tin or from a can.
And those are not terrible for the environment?
Not terrible for the environment. 100%. If you recycle it, 100% of the aluminum is still recyclable.
Okay.
It doesn't degrade its strength.
Okay.
So it stays kind of, yeah, it's, I think 71% of all the aluminum that's in circulation now is from like way back when. So
wow.
Aluminum is still... Yeah.
Cool. So we have like antiques in my pantry.
Yeah.
Heirlooms.
Heirlooms. So I'm finding ways to upcycle that tin. So that might be putting your children's toys in there or paintbrushes or pens and crayons or putting soil in the tin and making it your own herb garden on your windowsill in your kitchen.
Huh.
So there's just ways of upcycling and finding purpose and repurposing the things that you bring into your kitchen.
It's really this, what you're describing is just a very thoughtful, mindful way of living. I mean, I'm just imagining being the kind of person that's like, ooh, I'm going to revitalize stale bread. Ooh, I'm going to use my can and plant a little basil plant on my windowsill. Like it sounds so beautiful and like my stomach's relaxing and it just, I don't know, it just sounds like you're living such a grounded, calm, like simple life. It's very aspirational.
I think it's the plants.
Yeah. That's awesome.
I think it's just eat,
well,
yeah.
How do you do stuff with stale bread? What do you do with it? What's your go-to?
Perfect. My go-to. So I have stale bread. First thing that I can do is I take a towel, I wet it, I wrap the bread with the wet towel, and I place it in the oven for a few moments on a warm temperature. The bread will then absorb the moisture of the towel, and that bread will just come back to life. And then when I have that, I get to it right away, because then if I just let it sit there and I put it back in the pantry or the cupboard, it'll basically just go back and revert back to being stale again.
Wow.
So I cut it up, and I love putting croutons or tearing it apart and frying it or baking it and putting it in my pasta, putting it in my salad, putting it in with my tofu scramble, finding ways to just like, okay, I have this bread. Why did I buy bread and not use my bread. Mm-hmm. So it goes back to just like actually before even buying the bread and creating a list and shopping smarter and cooking what you actually have and not buying more of what you already own in your home. So basically what my girlfriend and I do is we wait until we're basically down to zero produce in the refrigerator, and then we go, okay, let's go out and buy some more food.
So I assume then you never have the issue where you have like half a bag of slimy spinach in your fridge. Long gone never. Are those days for you. But you've been there, right?
I have been there.
Okay.
So one thing to do, what I've done, and it's, I think this is a great tip, is you have your bag of spinach. Clean it off as soon as you get home. Take half, wrap it up in a towel, and put it into the fridge. I don't use plastic bags because I think the plastic bag actually just like suffocates it.
Yeah, it always goes actually, bad faster.
Yeah, and it always goes bad faster when it's in the bag. So I put it on a kitchen towel on a cloth. Wrap it up, put it in the fridge, and I know I'm going to use that in the next day or two. I'll put it in the salad. The other half, I'll store away and put it in a container in the freezer. So I'll use that spinach for like smoothies, mm-hmm. Or stir fries and things like that, or stews or soups. So I know that I have some of it saved in the freezer. I can go to it at any time in the next month, and I also have spinach that I can go to within the next like 5 days.
That's brilliant. That's
yeah,
so cool.
Yeah, just like, I'm just going to create less waste. If I know that I'm going to be, okay, I look at my schedule. Okay, I know that I have, you know, I'm hanging out with this person. I'm having a dinner this night. I'm going out that night. Let me look and see what I'm actually going to prepare. And is this going to last in my refrigerator?
Yeah, again, just mindful living. That's what's happening. What about like berries? I mean, like those come typically in plastic containers. Like what do you do about berries? I'm just going to ask you about every piece of produce. That's what the plan is here.
Please do. Yeah. we have 30,000 more produce items to go. So with the berries, I typically, when I get berries, they're during the season in which they are harvested. So seasonality is something that's big in my daily life. I do live next to a corner market, which they have fruit and vegetables that they're importing. Look, I'm only human. If I feel like having berries, I'm going to have berries. They have them in plastic containers, but they reuse those plastic containers because I've asked them. I'm like, what do you do with these plastic containers? Like, oh, we reuse them and we fill up the strawberries and the berries and all these containers. Okay, can I just give you back this container? And most of the time they're like, yes, please do. Hmm. So I take my own bag with me and fill it up. But like if you're at a supermarket and you get a plastic container of berries and whatnot, look, go for it. If your heart's saying, I love berries, I'm going to eat berries, eat the berries, just recycle.
Mm. And you know? Can recycle and that plastic and all's good with that, I guess.
We pray to the recycling gods that they pick it up and it goes to recycling. But again, that is to not to limit yourself to things that bring you joy. But be mindful. So when the season does come for berries, you know, in the spring and the summer and early fall, when we have that chance, go to a farmer's market and say, okay, in this next 6 months or 7, 8, 9 months, I'm just going to go to the farmer's market and get my berries at the farmer's market.
Got it.
Because it'll be that more enjoyable. You put half of it away, put it in the freezer, and then eat the other half. It'll be that more enjoyable than just going into a supermarket and saying, oh, there's my berries.
Yeah. You make it sound so simple. That's refreshing.
I hope so.
You do. What does your girlfriend and your family think about all this? I mean, are they on board? Are they inspired by you? Are they doing it too? How is that working out for
you? Yeah. They don't talk to me anymore.
You're joking.
I'm just kidding.
I'm like, oh my God.
My girlfriend is a sustainability advocate as well. She focuses more on fast fashion. So we're both kind of in this like sustainability, you know, let's help reduce our impact and save the planet kind of mindset.
That's beautiful.
Yeah, it's great. It can be overwhelming sometimes, but we're just like so passionate about this and we'll watch, you know, a series of Blue Planet or Our Planet that's on Netflix, and we'll just like start crying because we're like, what are we doing with the world? Mm,
is that the brand new one? I started watching a new one last night, actually.
Yeah.
Yeah.
David Attenborough.
Oh, yes.
I think that's how you say his last
yeah.
name.
Yeah.
Yeah. Go beautiful. Watch it. Please watch it. It's so beautiful what they're doing and
oh my
how
God.
They tell the story.
The flamingo who had the leg with the salt.
Wait, the flamingo? Oh, with the salt. Yeah, don't give it away. So crazy. It gets really intense.
Really
like, what? Are we doing this? Are yeah. we causing this?
Damn
this
straws.
Problem. Yeah. Goddamn fucking straws.
Okay, let me ask you this. How do you clean reusable straws? Because I am all game to use these reusable straws, but like anytime I've gotten like a metal one or like a whatever, a glass, I'm just like, I don't know how I'm supposed to clean you. And it grosses me out.
I have so many because people give them to me. They're like, here, have my reusable straw. I'm like, oh, thanks.
Like randos more. On the street?
More. That has happened. I know who you are. Here's my plastic. No. Here's my reusable
can you
straw.
Sign, when your book comes out, you'll just start signing people's reusable straws.
Oh my gosh.
I don't know what I ate this morning. Those strawberries had some laughing gas in them.
Those strawberries. There usually is a like a bristle or a cleaner that kind of can get in those cracks and those tight spaces to clean the straw itself. Maybe I need to send you one.
Maybe.
I know a store that you can go to.
Is there a good brand of a reusable straw? Do you like glass or aluminum? Is it aluminum?
You know what? I don't use straws. Oh, I don't even use the reusable
straws.
Sorry,
that's a non-negotiable for me. I freaking love straws.
Yeah.
Freaking love.
I don't have a favorite brand. I think they I'm sorry.
God,
I think they all
sick.
Have I think they have the same kind of purpose.
Mm-hmm. Know what we do? Don't judge me. But
no,
we'll take a real straw, like a shitty plastic one, and we'll just reuse that for like a few weeks. We'll wash it,
nice.
All good in the hood. That counts. That's helping.
That does count. That definitely
I'm
does
count.
I'm
reusing my straw.
Please do. I mean, the next plastic bag you see, it says on the bottom, I think most of them now say, please recycle or please reuse my plastic bag. Mm-hmm. It's okay. Reuse that plastic bag. But most of the bags are single use and they only last like 15 minutes.
15 minutes.
15 yeah. minutes. They leave the store. They go into your car. You drive home and then you throw it away.
It's depressing. It's really messed up.
But now New York State has put into effect, I think, or a legislation banning plastic bags. They're the second state in America to do this.
Oh, Colorado's a state, right? Or they just tax?
California.
I was just in Colorado and they taxed, I think. I could be wrong.
Really?
Maybe I'm wrong.
I think there needs to be this environmental tax needs to be in place for unlike that the big companies
totally.
Who are causing because the top 100 companies are creating 71% of the carbon emissions. And those guys, those companies need to pay for this because it's not just us. It's not just you and me that are going to feel the wrath of Mother Nature. It's the third world countries, the countries that live near the equator, the countries and the people who don't have a living wage. Those people are going to go, you know, those people are going to be in trouble. And it's such a... Yeah. Plastic straws. Fucking straws.
It all comes back to the straws. Well, the thing that as you're talking, I mean, it's so true. When you think about, like when I go on vacation and the hotel has those amazing all-you-can-eat brunch spreads that are just like the best thing on earth, every time I leave, I'm just mind blown thinking about what is going to happen with mm-hmm. all of that freaking smoked salmon out there. What's going to happen with all those donuts and bagels and cereal, like all the food that like spans like 8,000 square feet. No, that's
yeah.
too much. Like 1,000 square, no, like 1,000 square feet of like this brunch place. What the hell are they going to do with all that food? And then it makes me think that maybe just like starting a little compost bin here at home is worthless when you think about how much these big peeps are wasting and destroying the planet.
Right.
How do you
right.
like cope with that, that thinking like, okay, no, my choice to not get that acai bowl in a non-recyclable thing is worth it without thinking it's stupid because all these companies are doing much worse damage.
Excellent question. I thought the same thing too. I'm just one person. Mm-hmm. What am I going to do? How am I going to make an impact? Me, Max LaManna, this guy, am I going to make a difference? Yes. Because I'm going to now say something. I'm going to speak up and say, where is this food going? What do you do with your waste afterwards? And then hopefully that sparks some change within themselves. Hmm. And if you do throw it away, can you please think of another way to source your food or throw away your food or donate your food in a better, more practical, more environmentally friendly way? Mm-hmm. And maybe I'm that one person, and then you say something, and then the person who's listening to this goes and says something. Mm-hmm. Man, that's a lot of voices. Mm-hmm. And then we're all making change, and then we're all saying something. So I encourage everyone, if you go into a buffet, if you go into a restaurant, ask questions. Let me speak to your man. I'd like to speak to your manager. I'm really curious. You know, I'm for the planet. We all live here, and I'm passionate about my life here and the future generations to come. I want to know, I'm curious, you know, I love coming here to this restaurant and eating here. I think you have such great food, you know, but where is your food waste going? And what do you do with your food waste? And what happens to the plastic that you bring on? Are you doing any initiatives that are to, you know, eliminate your single-use plastic in the restaurant? I noticed you had straws. What are you going to do with those straws? You know, so it's like these small little things that we can do as global citizens coming together and speaking up and saying it, because I'm sure you're not the only one. I'm not the only one who's now saying this. And it's a combination of all our voices put together that is going to make a bigger impact.
That's great. And so you think even just asking these questions, not that we can really do anything with, you know, the Mexican hotel's food waste, but just even asking them prompts them to start thinking about it and then maybe implement change in their own systems, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah. It's true.
It is.
Because it impacted how I thought about my breakfast this morning. Just knowing I had this chat with you, I just was thinking, I'm more conscientious.
You've asked questions and now you have the results. Now you have some answers. And now it's in your hands to make a change, you know, and it may not happen today. It may not happen tomorrow, but this is sleep on this mm-hmm. because, and plan out how you're going to live with less waste. Man, living with less waste, I've saved time. I've saved money. I have less stress. I have less mm-hmm. to worry about. I sleep better at night. There's only improvements in your life that brings more into living with less waste. There's more purpose to living when you create less waste.
Period, exclamation point, end of story.
Mic drop.
Mic drop, there you go. So to continue, pick up the mic one more time. What are three-ish things that people could do? They are lit right now. They are woke. They are ready to reduce their waste. Three-ish quick things. Try this. Just boom, boom, boom.
Boom, boom, boom. Reduce, reuse, and refute. Excuse me. Reduce, reuse, and refuse.
That was a challenge to say. A mouthful.
Yeah. Reduce, reuse, refuse. Those three things. Reduce the amount of food you buy, perhaps, or reduce something in this space. Mm-hmm. Reduce the amount of food that you buy so you can cook the food that you actually have.
The amount of food you buy that's not in bulk. That's something to me I'm thinking right now. Like, okay, maybe I don't want to cut down on quantity I buy, but I could, instead of buying almonds in a plastic bag, I could just buy them. Well, okay, wait, devil's advocate. When you go to the bulk section, at least at Whole Foods, you take their plastic bag and fill a plastic bag with the bulk.
Hey, you could, or you can bring your own bags with you. And
they're cool. Everyone's cool with that?
Everyone's cool with that because most bags will have the weight on the bag. So then they'll just tear the bag with it. There's a company, and I'll mention this company. It's called Eco Bags.
Okay.
Eco Bags. You can find them on Instagram at Eco Bags US. or ecobags_US. I'll send you this information. We can have it in the show notes.
Great.
you can go to the store, you can buy, you get these bags and you just bring your bags and you refill it. They're going to say, okay. And if that ever comes across with like, well, you didn't use our plastic bags. You know what I say to that? Good. I'm not going to use your plastic bags. And that has happened in the past where I picked a loaf of bread without putting it in a brown paper bag. And they said, what are you doing with that bread? I said, well, I'm buying the bread. They're like, well, where's the paper bag? I'm like, it's back over there. It's still on the counter. Well, you need to put it on. I'm like, I'm not eating the paper bag. I'm eating the bread.
Oh my God. So what happened?
I walked away with the bread.
Nice.
I paid for it. I didn't have to.
You stole I stole the bread and I ran out.
I ran out the store. So reduce the amount of food that you buy, or just reduce plastic.
Yeah.
You know, find ways where you can reduce. Mm-hmm. Reuse. Let's figure out how we can reuse the things that we already have. Mm-hmm. So maybe it's, you know, a jar of peanut butter, that glass jar of peanut butter, that rich roasted peanut butter that you have that you love so much. What can you do with that jar afterwards? Maybe that jar is used for the almonds that you buy in your reusable bags. Mm-hmm. And you can fill your almonds on your shelf in that glass jar. Or use that glass jar for your take to work lunch salad dressing, you know, and you could shake your salad dressing in those little mini glass jars. Whatever it is, you can find a way to reuse the things that we already have so we don't have to go out and buy more.
Is it true that you bring those glass jars to restaurants and bring home leftovers in them?
If I have a glass jar with me, you heard a rumor. If I have a glass jar with me, I will bring, if I'm going to collect, I'll have like a jar with me or a container with me to collect food waste, food scraps, or leftovers. Like no food is ever going to go to waste. I don't care. Even if I don't bring one, I'm going to eat every single scrap there is.
Well, how do you get food? You mean like, how are food scraps at a restaurant different than just your leftovers?
Like lemon peels and lemon zest and things like that. They put on your drinks or they put on the side of the dish.
Oh my God. You like little, collect that?
Like garnishing. No, thing, you kind don't. Of stuff.
That's amazing.
Oh yeah.
That's hilarious.
Of course. You mentioned something about lemon peels early on.
Yeah,
And apple cores. You said mm-hmm. lemon peels, apple cores, and
onion
butts. So with the lemon peels, I make a home cleaner, a multi-purpose home cleaner with lemon peels. With the apple cores, I make a apple cider vinegar.
No.
And with the onion butts, I can regrow onions or put them into a veggie stock.
I can't. You're amazing. I want to do this.
You can, you're going to start small. You're going to make like these small changes here and there.
Can you be my accountability buddy?
Absolutely.
Well, you're everybody's. That's what your whole Instagram is and your book.
Absolutely. And then the last one.
Refuse.
Man, there's people on the street that are passing out pamphlets and flyers and join this gym and come over here and do. Say no to those handouts. You don't need more waste in your life. Or maybe it's refusing, you know, when you go to a fast food takeout place, they normally have bowls for you to sit down and eat. Refuse that plastic bowl that they're putting the food in and ask for a container to eat in the restaurant. This is what I've done. And sometimes they're like, hey, can you wait? We're going to have to go and wash that. I'm like, that's fine. I have no problem waiting. Go and wash that bowl. I'll be here waiting for my salad. refusing in any way that you can that you know that, okay, this is going to bring more waste into my life. I don't want to have to carry with this. And I don't want to send it to waste. I don't want to send this to a landfill. Like,
yeah,
that's just plain and simple. So love reduce, reuse, and that's refuse.
Beautiful. Nice. Love it. Okay. You. Amazing. All right. Thank my you. Final planty questions, and then yes. I'll let you go. What is your favorite planty restaurant?
Ooh, planty restaurant. You know what? You know what I'm going to say.
ABCV.
ABCV.
You know, that is a top pick for this
really?
Podcast. Yeah.
I mean, it's the only thing that comes to my mind.
Yeah.
In this moment, if I had to pick one here in London, if you have any viewers in London,
sure.
One that comes into mind. It's let's see, one that comes to mind. You know what? I've been craving a burger lately. there's a place called the Burger Co. And they make the most delicious plant-based burgers ever.
Wow. Ugh, I love me a good veggie burger.
And they're like, when you walk into the restaurant, they have a policy that sends nothing to landfill. It says nothing to landfill. So I'm like, oh, this is cool. But, you know, I've asked my questions too. So
don't spoil the magic.
Let's not go there. But the Burger Co. and ABCV in New York City in Manhattan.
Okay,
love it.
Cool. Yes, great. All right, what is your favorite plant to eat?
My favorite plant to eat? Broccoli.
Mm.
Roasted with olive oil, some roasted lemons as well. Squeeze on top the lemon juice and some salt and pepper.
Yum. Amazing. What do you do with like old olive oil jars? Bottles?
Yeah, bottles. Refill them.
With what?
Olive oil.
Oh, you can go.
Yeah. You know what? Olive oil.
Where do you get bulk olive oil?
Yes. In New York, the two places that I recommend in Manhattan is the 4th Street Co-op. It's, I think, like NoHo. I think it's in NoHo. 4th Street Co-op. It's in like East Village, NoHo, that sort of area. And then the other one in Brooklyn called the Bushwick Cooperative.
So for people that don't live in Manhattan, Brooklyn, blah, blah, like they might live in Kansas or whatever, is the way to go in general like co-ops? It sounds like co-ops are very open to like bulk things and, yes, you know, bring your own bags. Is that so? If someone's normally shopping at Trader Joe's or Costco or whatever, it sounds like it could be challenging for them to live a no-waste lifestyle or a less-waste lifestyle.
Yeah, if you have the capacity, you need to do your research. I mean, mm-hmm, don't just arrive up to, you know, your grocery store and think, oh, where's the bulk section? Because they may not have it. But
right,
you may have some, you know, cooperative in your town or within driving distance, mm-hmm, where you're able to get to, you know. Mm-hmm. And they may not have everything. It's really like, it's not the end-all be-all, like, if you don't do this tomorrow, like, we can't be friends. No, it's making these like small changes, doing your research, knowing what you can achieve and make achievable. I don't want people to stress out and say, oh my gosh, I can't do any of this.
Right.
You can. There are small things that you can do to reduce your waste. Like, so it's just,
okay,
it's just,
thank you.
Yeah.
Yep. No, I would just need you to keep calming me down. Okay. What is your favorite or your most used kitchen tool?
I am a big fan of the spiralizer.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Love a spiral. What is your favorite thing to spiralize?
Oh, zucchini.
Mm-hmm. For some pasta.
Courgette. Yeah, some pasta. Carrots or sweet potato or beets. Daikon. Anything. I mean, you could spiralize. I don't want to say everything. But yeah, you can you can spiralize most vegetables.
Yeah, well, I had Allie, the founder of Inspiralize, on the show. She was my first ever guest. First ever. I think it's episode 2 or 3 or 1.
That's amazing.
So yeah, she literally gave us the rundown of every single thing you could spiralize. It's pretty remarkable.
That's incredible. I love that.
Yeah, that's pretty no
That's
waste.
A great person to have on.
Yeah, I was just very, a get. Love Allie.
Very vegan of you.
What is a book that has inspired you in some awesome way?
Oh my gosh. It's taken me a while to get through this book because I just keep rereading the pages. It's called Waste, Uncovering the Global Food Scandal. And it's by a author, a gentleman here in the UK called Tristram Stewart. And the book is called Waste, and it's basically just understanding the global food scandal and why food is being wasted and what's happening to the distribution centers and the suppliers, and why are we throwing away perfectly good food?
I'm so glad you mentioned that. That's awesome. I was hoping you would mention an appropriate book, and you did. And finally, your book, which comes out in August. I am elated. I honestly, before we got on this call, I didn't know you had a book coming out. So this call was scheduled way before anything was worth promoting. But tell us. Say something. That's so incredibly exciting. And it was funny. Sorry, I'm cutting you off, even though I just said for you to say something. You had said to me that you expressed such urgency to your publisher about, like, this book has to get out as soon as possible so it can impact as many people as possible and thus impact the world. And I thought that was just spectacular.
Yes. When the opportunity came to me to write a book, I had opportunities before, but the timing wasn't right. And the opportunity of the publisher that I chose to work with came to me and says, "Hey, Max, we love what you're doing. We want you to write a book for us. We want you to become an author." And I said, "Perfect. This is the idea. This is what we're doing. Are you with me? Yes or no?" And they were like, "Yes." So the title of the book is called More Plants, Less Waste. This is a book for everyone. There's the word vegan does not show up in my book whatsoever. This book is for everyone.
That's awesome. Yeah.
So this book, the recipes were created from and by plants, but it's for people who may find veganism to be a stretch. So you're going to see recipes like milk. You're going to see recipes like butter and cheese. Those were all created with plants, but you can obviously put, you know, the non-plant alternative in if you like to. I know that's going to require some change and alteration with the recipes, but this book is an inviting tool for people to understand that we need to eat more plants. Our planet is under a lot of stress at the moment, and we're wreaking havoc on our planet and our environment. And this is the only planet we have. We're seeing polar ice caps melting. We see rainforests and the deforestation and rare species and animals going extinct left and right. And we're coming to a moment where we need to seriously make a change. So with this book, I'm inviting people to eat more plants and create less waste.
Woo! Yes! And party in them. Party in those plants.
Party in those plants. Yes.
Yeah. So where can everyone follow you up until getting your book? And, you know, you put out such great, tangible, helpful, inspirational information. So where can everybody go get that?
Thank you. You can come and get that over at Max Lamana. That's my social handle for Instagram, Facebook. I am Eating with Max. And my website is maxlamana.com.
Perfect. Well, Max Lamana, thank you so much for coming on today. This couldn't have been more fun and inspirational. I can't wait to start reducing my waste.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
I didn't know if there was, I thought that was what we were gonna,
well, you have to like say thanks, bye.
I thought it was like a really nice kind of closing words. Maybe you should have the last word, but thank you. I really appreciate it and had a lot of fun speaking with you today. And I hope people can take away something from this and apply some change in their everyday life.
Neat. Thanks so much for listening to the Party in My Plants podcast. Wowee, how was that for a zero waste of a time chat? I certainly feel like my onion butt has been kicked into gear here to start making changes for this earth of ours. Think you know someone else who might want to learn how to use their food scraps? Share this with them. Clearly, Max is awesome. And luckily, you can find out a lot more about him. You can pre-order his book and you can grab the top tips from this chat in the show notes, which live a no-waste life over at partyinmyplants.com/143.